listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Today we are looking at the book of 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your gift of music, your gift of life and joy. And now, Lord, as we gather around your word, we thank you for your love. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You, our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Now remember when you had kids at home, or maybe remember when you were a kid yourself? Remember how your parents would always be nagging, right? Just do this, you know. Go wash your hands, come in for dinner, clean your room, go have a bath, which the response is usually, but I had one last week. Generally, for most of us, I would imagine, our parents just simply, they didn't put real onerous demands on us, right? It wasn't that hard. You know, they just want us to do simple things, be polite, be clean and tidy. You know, don't get in any trouble. Do a couple of simple chores around the house. None of it really added up to a whole lot, right? But when you're a kid, boy, do these things get in your way. You know, you think they're just the biggest demands in the world. You know, kids, they just want to go out and have fun. They want to get dirty, and they don't want to have to think too hard about it. Just enjoy life for what it is. Isn't the innocence of youth a beautiful thing? Probably something we all wish we could enjoy now and again. Kids just want to move on from one fun thing to the next. And stopping for chores or even cleaning themselves just gets in the way of moving on to the next fun thing. But as parents, we just want our kids to grow up as decent human beings. We want them to know how to share, how to be polite, you know, how to be positive citizens in society, and maybe to not stink up the house after being outdoors playing all day. Is that too much to ask? Well, it depends on who you're asking. For parents, they would have one answer, but go ask a 10-year-old, and they may have a different outlook on that question. We're still working through the book of 1 John, and we finally made it to the final chapter, chapter 5. It's still going to take us a couple weeks to finish the book, but we're almost there. Some of you may be thinking, finally. But this theme, as we read through 1 John, the theme of love keeps coming back to us. Like John reminds us of the importance of following God's commandments. This is how we show we love God, by following his instructions for our daily life. By commandments, we mean living by the standards God has set forward in the Bible. And we know that probably the first place we look is the Ten Commandments, right? We know those. They would be the obvious starting point. And of course, those are, you know, no gods before our God, no idols, don't take God's name in vain, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, honor your parents, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness, don't covet your neighbor's stuff, whether it's wife or house or anything else they own. For the most part, these commandments are pretty easy to follow. And of course, when we think to simplify them a bit, we see that the first four is about our relationship with God, and the rest of them are about how we relate to one another in the world. So when we hear Jesus say what the two greatest commandments are, it makes sense to us when we realize that breakdown. Because what does Jesus say the two greatest commandments are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the general guiding principles that God has given us to start with as our base, as our foundation. That's what they are. They are the base. They are the foundation upon which God will give us more instructions. And there are more instructions in the Bible. But God may also give us our own personal instructions. There are things God will ask us to do and things God will ask us to not do. And my list might be different than your list because we're all different. We all have our own relationship with God, and He will reveal to us what those instructions are. But no matter how you look at it, if God asks you to do something more or to not do something, there's a pretty good chance we can break that piece down into one of the two things. It's either to love God or to love our neighbor. So for example, maybe God's asked you to not watch so much television. Well, what's the big deal about watching television? Well, God may want you to read more, like your Bible, or to pray. So He wants you to get into that loving Him side of things. Or maybe He, instead of watching TV, He wants you to go out and serve some people, to do something for someone else. That is, love your neighbor. Or maybe God wants you to just drop something in general from your life. He's probably asking you to do that because it's sin. It's causing you to sin. And sinning is certainly not loving God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, we read this: "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Is loving God a burden? No, I don't think so. When we acknowledge the love of God in our lives and we return that love to Him, it's a really joyful moment, isn't it? Right? And it's a moment and it's a feeling that we can carry with us the rest of our days. Now, I confess that the loving your neighbor part is the trickier part. It's the harder part. I will admit that there are people out there that are really hard to love. They might be greedy or arrogant or many, many other things, right? Selfish. And these things can really get in and grind our gears, can't it? But for the most part, we can probably avoid these people. Like, we can say, okay, I'm not going to go there because that's where I keep bumping into that person, so I'll go here instead. But what if you can't avoid that person? What if they're a coworker? What if they're your boss? Or what if there's someone in your family or some guy who preaches every Sunday? I hope it's not. But sometimes it's hard to avoid them. So what do we do? Well, loving God, loving others, our neighbors, is not as easy as it sounds. But we try our best. That's all God asks of us, that we try our best. One thing I think we all know is that we all have flaws, probably a whole bunch of them. Like, I can't complain when someone doesn't do something for me that they've promised they're going to do, because to be perfectly honest, I forget things all the time. You just need to look at my honey-do list to figure that out. You know, the list of what your honey wants you to do things around the house? Yeah. But of course, there are far worse sins in our world than forgetting to do something. There's been some of it making the news lately over the last few weeks. There have been a number of men accused of sexual misconduct. And it's incredibly sad when you read these stories, especially when you start to read what they were doing. It just doesn't make sense. It's strange circumstances that these women have found themselves in, and even sometimes men. And I won't mention any of the circumstances because I want to keep my sermons child-friendly, but they are often strange and sick behaviors put out by men who are supposed to be leaders in their industry or places where they work. When I look at these examples, I think it's just kind of a proof of the inherent sinful nature of the world right now. And yes, some of the stories are old, but in the grand scheme of the age of the world, these are still recent stories. There's still a state of society that's been going on for some time. And as more and more inappropriate sexual behaviors are increasingly reported, you can't help but wonder how we've entered a world where this happens. Bev and I had this discussion the other day. What drives a man to do these things? Is it the feeling of power? Is it something broken in their brain that's connected to somehow disrupts their sense of moral and ethical righteousness? Consciences? Is it the effect of readily accessible porn in the world today? Is it all these things together, or is it something different? I don't know. One thing I do know, though, is it's certainly not loving God, and it most definitely is not loving our neighbors. This is the impact of the sinful world on people. Somehow their sin takes some sort of warped sense of reality where it's normal for them to think that this is appropriate behavior, to take advantage of someone else in such a way. It's a strange place to be, that's for sure. But if we go back to our text, what does John have to say about how we live in a sinful world? He says this in verses 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If we want to overcome the sin of the world and learn to love one another, then we need Jesus. For a Christian, this should be our first action. This should be our first response to these situations. It is our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior which carries us in ways of how God wants us to live and to love. The same love of God which Jesus showed himself as he lived his life. Shunning and condemning sin, yes, but at the same time loving people as God's children. God has no desire to burden us with an unachievable lifestyle. You know, the standard of living. The Bible tells us that a life of faith as a child of God is actually quite simple. Doesn't that take some of the pressure off? We don't need to worry about being better than anyone else. We simply accept who we are as children of God. And if God wishes us to change, we trust that he will do so lovingly, and he will. That's his promise. There's a saying you sometimes hear. I believe it came from author and pastor Max Lucado. He says, God loves you just the way you are, but refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. God wants to take us as children of a world who struggle, where there's a struggle of sin, and he wants us to make us as his children in the likeness of Jesus. Why does he want to do that? Because he loves us. He wants the best for us. And we can only know this love if we start walking away from our sin and toward God, toward Jesus. Every one of us here is somewhere along that journey. Some of us are close to living lives of love as God wants us to live. We feel like we're nearly there. And some of us may be just getting started, struggling with those first steps of the journey as we try to shed the sin we carry. But no matter where we are, it all ends. It doesn't end on this earth. It ends when Jesus comes to take us home. We need to acknowledge that in this journey, we're not going to get here in this life. But we're going to strive for it. We're going to do our best to get there. We might even long for it. And there will be a few moments when we may feel like we're almost there. But then we'll take a step back and say, oh, there's still some more work left to do. And that's all part of the natural journey of a life of faith. It's a never-ending journey as long as we are breathing on this earth. But it's also not a journey that's burdensome. It's not meant to break us down and leave us tattered. Yes, it might feel like that sometimes, especially early on as we do shed those difficult sins in our life, those sins that control us. But as we continue on the journey, we realize it's all for our own benefit, the benefit of living in God's love, a feeling we've never experienced before. Remember that promise that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 11? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's in Jesus where we find rest for our troubled souls, souls beaten up by sin and by shame. Jesus will help us shed those burdens and walk with him. Remember what he told us, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. As a kid, I remember going to the South Shore Exhibition in Bridgewater, and we would go, I think it was Friday nights, maybe even Saturday nights, but we would go and watch the ox pulls. It was fascinating to see these two giant beasts tied together by a simple piece of wood so that they could together pull a huge amount of weight as far as they could. When you watched them, you couldn't help but notice that they were pulling together. There wasn't one ox out further ahead dragging the other one behind. They would pull together because it's such a heavy load that neither of them could carry it on their own. They had to work as a team to carry that load. Well, Jesus does the same for our load. Jesus died for our heavy burdens so that we could walk with him. Jesus took that heavy load on himself. And he offers to help us carry a lighter load. He offers us a life of love, love only God can give us. And we'll never have to carry that heavy load alone ever again. If we know God, we know we are never alone. If we know God, we know we can overcome the sinful nature of the world by living lives as God has planned for us. The victory of Jesus on the cross is our victory. His resurrection is our resurrection. His life is our life. In Christ Jesus, we are one with God, living as God's children, walking lives of light and love and peace and joy, knowing our Heavenly Father is preparing a place for us as we make that journey toward him with Jesus at our side. Each day is a step towards that goal. Each day, Jesus takes that step right there beside us, carrying the load we carry. And as we're walking, Jesus is shedding the burdens of that load. He's making it lighter each and every day as we walk toward our heavenly reward that our Father has prepared for us in his kingdom. We are never walking this world alone. When we love God, Jesus is right at our side, walking that road with us. Let us pray. Holy Jesus, what a gift it is to have you at our side each and every day. As we walk this world, as we bump into struggles in our journey, you are right there to help us carry the load. And as we walk this road with you, may we know the joy of having you shed the burdens of our lives, lightening the load for the continued journey ahead. Remind us, Lord Jesus, of the infinite love the Father has for us, his children, each and every step of the way. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.